Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge. I'm Paula. What we don't know can hurt us. Our guest, Richard Ben Kramer, reports that Americans know next to nothing about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and says this Pulitzer Prize-winning Middle Eastern reporter, much of what we think we know is just plain wrong. So to fill in this gaping hole, Richard Ben Kramer has written How Israel Lost. Given how sad Mr. Kramer is about this country he loves so much, his ideas about the future of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict are surprisingly hopeful.
There's no other way this story can finish but with peace. You know, there are two nations. There will be two countries. It's mostly a matter of how many people have to die in the meantime, and how long will it take to get a class of leadership that will maybe even submerge its own interests to lead its people to peace.
Richard Ben Kramer won the Pulitzer Prize in 1979 for his coverage of the Middle East and returns to the subject in How Israel Lost. His writing has appeared in Time, Newsweek, The New York Times Magazine, Esquire, and Rolling Stone. His book, What It Takes, The Way to the White House, is considered a classic of modern American political writing. Bill Russell and I were impressed with Mr. Kramer's unflinching willingness to offer an unvarnished version of the truth in his bestseller, Joe DiMaggio, The Hero's Life. Since the Middle East is so important to the world, Bill Russell and I wanted to find out what we did not know about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, so we were eager to welcome Richard Ben Kramer back to our program, our home, and our studio in Atlanta. Richard Ben Kramer, a well-known American Jewish rabbi said to me, that's not a redundancy, a Jewish rabbi said, prophets do not tell the future, they tell the truth. And I wondered, as I was reading How Israel Lost, if you were feeling, wasn't this a hard book to write? Weren't you feeling prophetic in that sense of telling the truth?
Well, you know, in my own writing studio, in my own little swatch of Maryland, it wasn't a hard book to write because it came out of me like a story I had known for years. But I think when you get the feeling of prophethood and being on that hillside crying into the wind is when you go out into the American public and, you know, it's so foreign to anything Americans have heard before that sometimes you feel like you have to start over with them. Where do you start, you know? We get a version of Middle East news that is so truncated and so kind of comic book simple that is very hard to engage people in any reality. Much of what they think they know is just plain wrong, you know.
Well, and we're not real good at saying, oh, I'm wrong.
No, it's hard to say you're wrong, and I had to do it myself as I tell the story in the book. When I arrived in the Middle East as a young correspondent, it wasn't what I knew, what I didn't know that bothered me. It was what I knew for sure that was just plain wrong.
That is humbling, isn't it?
It is very humbling.
Yes.
But
yes, there's that.
God has seen to it that it happens to me regularly.
This started with that wonderful, and what you do is go back, you know, to the foundings of Israel and some of the precursors to that. But that magic, wonderful piece of propaganda, a land without people and a people without land.
Which you were raised Sunday schooling.
That's right. And that was what we knew about Israel. You know, it was, I mean, to me it was not only a great line about a great event in history, but it was almost evidence of God's goodwill. It was, you know, the world went together so neatly in the end, like a Lego set or something.
Or like a bumper sticker.
Yeah, like a bumper sticker.
I want to hear you say that and then say and untangle that.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, what we heard about Israel was it was a land without people for a people with no land. The Jews were coming from Europe where they had been massacred by the Nazis. They were streaming out of displaced person camps, and the death camps that had been overtaken by the Allied forces.
And that part was correct.
All that was true. And the Zionist story was that here was this empty swatch of real estate in the Middle East, which happened to be their ancestral home from the Bible days.
Just happened to be.
And was empty, a wasteland, a desert, which their European sophistication was about to turn into a garden. And it was a beautiful story, and a story that caught the American public's fancy and the American government's sympathy. In fact, the world's sympathy. That was why the UN voted Israel into existence. But there was a problem with the story, which was that there was a people on that land. Not a large population, and not a population that had ever had a nation state of its own, but a people, an Arab people, who now call themselves the Palestinians. And they had been residents in that land for hundreds of years. Their existence had to be denied, because otherwise the story of Israel was a bit too complicated for the world to get.
This notion of stories is, it seems, central throughout as you talk about how Israel lost. The power of a story is not to be underestimated.
That's exactly right. And a story that sits in your brain and in your heart forever is a story that will control what happens in history.
And has.
Right. And the Israelis have been very smart about controlling their own narrative and using it for their own purposes. And what really sent me back to do this book, Paula, was I saw them losing control of their own narrative. And that's been their lifeline. You know, that was the first industry of Israel, was what I call in the book Hasbara, which is the Hebrew word that they use. It literally means explaining.
This is Richard Ben Kramer. I'm going to interrupt so that you can do some more explaining when we return in just a moment. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Be with us when we return.